Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 11. Ephesians is the most spiritual church in the Bible because Paul was there for 2.5 years. This is, if Ephesus was the place where the Bible college was. And I'm sure that there were more preachers trained than just at Ephesus. But when you read Ephesians, you're reading Paul addressing spiritual Christians. And that's why people don't like Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, because there's a lot of meat there. There's a lot of doctrine there. There's a lot of what we are supposed to be as Christians and what God did for us. I started that as a springboard tonight, and in Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, God says here, and if you're there in your Bible, watch this. It says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." That word Christian, that's the first time it's used in your Bible there. It's used two more times, one more time in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26, and then it's used in 1 Peter. Every time the word Christian is used, it's never talking about salvation. Now that's the way we use it. We use Christian in terms of salvation, but whenever God uses it in the Bible, it's always in reference to suffering Christians. To suffering Christians. Next time you'll read it in Acts 26, Paul is before a ruler, Agrippa. He's under persecution. He's in bonds. He's on his way to Caesar. Agrippa says to him, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." That's the next time it's used. The word Christian in your Bible is used three times. Every time it's used, it's always in reference to a suffering believer. The word Christian means one who follows Christ, one who reminds you of Christ, one who is Christ-like or acts like Christ. If you ask the world what they think a Christian is, they call Catholics Christians. I'm not for any Christian being persecuted, but the Egyptian, the Coptic Christians that are being persecuted, I'm talking where ISIS is going in and they're knocking on people's doors, and as people answer, they're throwing acid in the faces. All that horrible stuff that's happening right now to Christians in Egypt, you do need to know they don't believe like you and I believe. They're Catholic Christians. They baptize babies. Now, I'm not for what they're doing, but the world calls them Christians. I would agree they're different than Islam, but you do need to know the Christians that are being persecuted in Egypt right now, they wouldn't enjoy a church service like we do. It's different, but I'm not for it either. But that's what the world calls anybody who follows the Bible and Christ a Christian. You know what I mean? And you can believe whatever you want, you're a Christian in their eyes. That's not the way God uses it. True Christianity believes and exalts the Lord Jesus and God's preserved words. Being a Christian is not the same as being saved. To be saved, you have to trust Jesus as your Savior. I think you know that. Listen closely. To be a Christian, you must remind others of Jesus. I know people who are saved who don't remind others of Jesus. So just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a Christian. There's a difference. You're not a Christian unless you have been saved, born again, regenerated. You're not a Christian unless you have followed the Lord and believers' baptism after salvation. But once again, just because you're saved and have followed the Lord and believers' baptism doesn't mean you're a Christian. You can be saved and baptized and not remind anybody of Jesus Christ. You're a Christian when others see Christ in you, not when you think you're a Christian. You'll also notice every time the word Christian is used, especially in the book of Acts, they're never calling themselves Christians. They're being called Christians. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Who was calling them Christians? The people in Antioch. They were saying, they act like the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came and died for the sins of... They act like Yeshua, the one who was in Jerusalem. They act like Christ. No Christian is... You can't be a self-proclaimed Christian. I learned that from the Bible. You become a Christian when somebody else says, "You remind me of Jesus. You remind me of Jesus." I love that song. I looked for the sheet music and looked for it and finally found it. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Very convicting song. I heard that song when I first got saved. I love the message of that song. You can't call yourself a Christian. Others call you a Christian because you remind them of the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, I want you to think about this. What do other people think about when they think about you? What do other people say when they talk about you? And I'm not talking about the little bit of negative that comes with the general. I'm talking about what's the overwhelming topic that people talk about you when you're not there? Who calls you a Christian? Do you remind anybody of Jesus? Because that's when you become a Christian. When your actions and your love expressed and your kindness and your words remind somebody of Jesus, that's when you become a Christian. It's not when you get saved. Most of the time, the world won't see Jesus in you because they don't know Him. Other people who love the Lord need to see Jesus in you. When my wife and I got married, there was a lady in the church, and her body, she had a disease, and she was in constant pain the whole time. And her husband would push the wheelchair to church, and they would bring food for people in the church after Sunday on church at church. And when my wife and I got married, her and her husband got... Did she make that or did she... She bought that, right? She bought us a quilt that was called a wedding ring quilt. And it was a pattern that's fairly old-fashioned, but it's called the wedding ring pattern. And she said, "We wanted to give this to you and your wife because you all just got married." But she, as you'd watch her, sometimes she would say, "We want you to have this." And then, you know, you'd take it from her and then she would go... hurt so bad. And then her husband would hold her, say, "Honey, it'll be okay." As much pain as she was in and the love that they were expressing, my wife called them. She'd say, "Honey, they're the Jesus people." Her pain wouldn't stop her. Do you understand? Now, she was in a wheelchair but it was just amazing. She had enough hurts and enough pain to keep her occupied to where if she didn't do anything for anybody, nobody in the church would have complained. Nobody would have said, "Oh, well, she just needs to straighten up." Nobody would have said that. But through her pain, what they would do for other people, "Here, we got this for you, and we wanted you all to have a meal today when you go home from church." And they did it for the single people in the church. But I'll never forget, my wife was the one, and just her and I, she would say, "That's the Jesus people. That's the Jesus people." I'll say it again, you can't call yourself a Christian. And then in this day and age, it needs to be said, if the world loves your Jesus, it's because you've made Him something that He's not. Please remember that. Look, they crucified Him once, and the next time He comes, they're going to assemble to fight Him. Now, they're going to lose, amen, but the world is not going to love Christ. They will continue to hate Christ. So, anytime I'm in a worldly crowd... If everybody's loving Jesus, Something's wrong. That's not the Jesus I know of the Bible. My Jesus wasn't out to be hated, but the world hates my Jesus. Do you understand? That needs to be said in this day and age. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You see, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I'm going to say it again because it's the crux of the message. You're a Christian when another person who loves the Lord says you remind them of Christ. Now, I don't know if I can be a Christian to everybody because everybody doesn't see me all the time. But can I tell you, I've heard this statement a long time ago and it's carried me as a Christian. There's two people I want to smile. I want God's smile and I want my wife's smile. You know why? Because she lives with me. I'd hate for my wife to be able to say, have to cover up when we come to church, you know, he's a holy terror at home. But when we come to church, you know, he's all, woo, you know, wagga, 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 you know, whatever it is. I would hate in my wife's eyes to be a hypocrite. He preaches the Bible at church, but when we go home, He's like a different person. I do like my wife's approval. You understand? I'm saying I do want her smile. She lives with me, she knows me. And I would hate for my wife to say, that's a double-minded man right there. He wants one thing when he's at church and he wants a totally different thing when he's at home. Totally different set of goals. I would hate for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says this, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. See, we're all prone to compare ourselves among ourselves instead of the one that matters. The person you're supposed to be comparing yourself to is not anybody else in this room. The person you're supposed to match up to is Jesus. He's our example. He's our pattern. He's the one I'm trying to... That's the one... And watch this. Anytime I try to be like you, you can inspire me, but what you ought to be inspiring me to do is be like Jesus, and what I should be inspiring you to be isn't another Greg Nash. It should be, let me tell you what I learned from Jesus so you can do the same. So you can act like Him in this area, and then there's this area of friendships, and then I want you to learn. Let me teach you what I learned about how Jesus would handle His money, and let me teach you what I learned about how Jesus made friends, and let me tell you what I learned about. I'm supposed to inspire you, but it's to be like Christ. It's not to be like me. I'm supposed to help you say, I want to be more like Jesus. And watch this, all of us are supposed to, and where we fail is this, when we start, doesn't it say, we dare not compare ourselves among ourselves. You start losing spiritual ground and you stop being spiritual whenever you say, I wish I was like so and so. God didn't put you in that house. God didn't give you their finances. God didn't give you their background, their family. We can go on and on. God put you where He put you, and God has worked in your life to get you saved to where you're at, and you're not supposed to compare yourself to anybody. We dare not. It's very unwise. Let me take it the other direction. It's foolish when we do so. That needs to be said. That's a reset button for all of us, right? Because I love being around the Christians in our church. I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy serving the Lord, going soul winning with the men in the church. And I love influencing, but watch this. I enjoy their influence. but we're all supposed to be pointing each other to Jesus, not each other, not each other. That's what the verse says. Now take your Bible and go to Matthew 4, Matthew 4. So we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. What we're supposed to be doing as a Christian is we're supposed to be wanting to be like Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then watch this. Matthew 4:20 says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. The only reason the disciples left their life's business, they'd done that, you understand, they were raised from boyhood to be fishermen. This was their daddy's trade. Now they're doing what their daddy did. And the only reason they left everything and followed Christ was so that they could be like him. You don't drop your whole business and then follow someone unless you want to be like them. We should be wanting to be like Christ. Let me. I'm going to now turn the statement around. Listen closely. The disciples followed Christ because they wanted to be like him. We're supposed to follow Christ because we want to be like him. Now let me. I'm not. This is not a semantic play on words. You only follow Christ as much as you want to be like him. And if you're not following Christ, it's because you don't want to be like him. I know that sounds simple, but there's, and watch this. People go, I follow Christ, I follow Christ. You can't follow Christ unless you're involved in some way of soul winning. Follow me. That's what Jesus said, right? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That means I'm going to put you in a process of becoming someone who eventually catches men. That's why I said this morning in Sunday school, the minimum that you do, everybody in here should at least be praying for at least one person. Dear God, save their soul. Or they're going to die and go to hell. You mean all your neighbors are saved? You mean everybody you work with is saved? You mean you don't know anybody that's lost? You mean everybody in your family is saved? So there's nobody to pray for? Let me make the statement again. I follow Christ, you follow Christ as you are is interested in getting people saved. That takes Christian strength, Christian character. You understand? And watch this. Everybody's at a different level. Everybody's at a different level. But you have to make that a priority. Watch this, or you're not following Christ. With those statements, we're not supposed to follow any actor in Hollywood. We're not supposed to follow any musician. We're not supposed to follow any secular personality. People are followed on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I'm following you. You following me. And it's just goofy. You know, what did you do last week? Where did you go shopping at? Where are you now? The only person I want asking that is my wife. I, what are you doing now? If it's not my wife, I don't even answer it. Somebody texted me 2 weeks ago and it was out of state. How are you doing? What are you doing? I did not answer. That's goofy to me. You understand? None of your business. It wasn't because I don't want to know what the whole world's doing. I'm not trying to hide anything, but I've got more important things to do than let the whole world know. I went shopping today. Bleh. That's goofy junk. That's goofy. A Christian is a follower of Christ because they want to be like Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Oh, that's a children's song. I think there's a lot of songs that are classed as children's songs, and it's sad. They need to be adult songs. How about this? This is hard singing. This is easy singing, hard living.
Though no one join me, still I will follow.
That's an easy song to sing until the rubber hits the road. Will you really follow Jesus if nobody else does? I hope we do. Amen? Of course, I hope we do. But that's hard living. That's not just a children's song. We're supposed to want to follow Christ. There isn't supposed to be anyone we follow more than Jesus. I'm only as good of a Christian as I follow Christ. Listen closely. I want to act like Him. I want to think like He thinks. I want to want what He wants. I want to sing what He would sing. I want to laugh at what He would laugh at. And I want to cry at what He would cry at. I want to dress like He wants me to dress. I want to talk about what He would talk about. I want to spend my time doing what He would do. I want to be a Christian, Christ-like. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. You're only going to act like Jesus as much as you think like Jesus. And if you're programmed by the world and by the media and the movies and Hollywood and all of that, you can't think like Jesus. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Verse 2 has this incredible phrase in it. God says here, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed or pressed into its image. It's just like if I had a ball of clay and I took a doll and I took it and I mashed it into the clay and then I took the doll out, I would have an imprint. That's what the word conformed means. Don't be pressed into the image of the world. You don't have to wear this because the world says that's in. You don't have to wear your hair this way because the world says it, you have to wear it this way. I'd hate for any magazine to be calling what's in and out in my life. Now, okay, I realize you can take this too far, and I don't think you have to, you know, our ladies don't have to dress like bag ladies, okay? You can wear something to church other than a trash bag, okay? And I want you looking nice, and I want you feeling good about yourself, but I'd hate for anybody to say, well, I just read in a magazine this week that this style dress here. One, the world doesn't wear dresses. It's a contest on how much skin they can show. For our ladies to pick modest attire, they normally use the Bible and something else, but they're not using Vogue and all this other garbage magazines that are out there. God says here, be not conformed or pressed into the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There has to be a time where your mind is renewed and you receive God's Word or the mind of Christ to help me think right. That phrase, renewed of your mind, the renewing of your mind, is used in Ephesians. You're in Romans. Can you go to Ephesians real quick? Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read this a little bit here. We're not supposed to be saved. See, here's the goal, I think the goal of the Christian life is to be as much like Jesus as you can. That's the goal. I have a lot more to do too, by the way. I have not attained. I have not reached perfection. I'm not going to until I get to heaven. But what I'm supposed to be working at tomorrow, and what I'm supposed to be working at next week, and what I'm supposed to be working at next month, is being a better Christian. Christ-like. More like Him. That's supposed to be one of my goals. It's supposed to be, it's the main object. It's why do we study the Bible? Why do we learn the Word of God? It's so I can not think like myself and not do what my flesh wants and become more like Jesus. I want God's thoughts in my mind so I can do what? Be a Christian. A Christ-like one. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. They think differently. They live differently. We want you to party with us. We want you to go with us. We want you to... They think differently. They got different goals. Don't think that way. Look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened, their brain is darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, they're lost. Your thinking and your decision making is what separates you from God. We're not supposed to be living for... That's why the burden of tonight's sermon was this. I would hate... I've been saved 32 years, and only one time in my life have I had a person walk up to me. I'd been saved about almost a year. And they walked up to me and said, "I noticed something different about you." That's only happened one time in my life. I'd like it to happen a few more times before I die. Amen? Because you're saved if you've trusted Christ, but you're saved. Excuse me, you're a Christian when others see Jesus in you. And until someone sees Christ in you, and until you remind someone of Jesus, I'm going to make a strong statement, but I think I can back it with the Bible. You're not a Christian. I would want more people to think of me as a Christian because I worked at it. Do you understand? And watch this. I think that's a noble goal for everybody. How do you influence? What do people think about when you leave their presence? I remember after being around one of my spiritual mentors that I would look up and just say, "Dear God." Every time he'd preach, I would just go, "How does anybody teach the Bible like that? How does anybody, Lord, help?" And I would say, "Lord, I wanna be a Christian like that. He reminds me of Jesus." And my heart would burn. Christian, tonight the sermon is being a Christian. What do people think about when you spend time with them and then they leave? Do they go, "Wow, I need to shore up some things. I need to work at some things." Because you're either feeding the flesh or you're feeding the spirit. One of the two. A Christian, Christ-like. Look at verse number 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." It's a good word. We don't use it anymore, but it's a good word. It means longing for the forbidden. "To work all uncleanness." That anytime you see the word uncleanness in your Bible, it's always talking about immorality with greediness. I wrote this down. When you do not pursue spiritual growth in Christ, there is nothing else to live for but the flesh. Look at verse 20. "But ye," you Christian, "have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." So then he's going to tell you how to be different from this point on. From verse 21 down, he's going to say, "So since we don't want you acting like Gentiles who are lost and having their understanding darkened and they're alienated from God," look at verse 21. He says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man,
which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. They don't read their Bible because they don't get anything out of it. Your Bible time's supposed to be enjoyable. And I know all of us get backslidden from time to time. But when your Bible never means nothing to you, Christian, that's a red flag. Something's wrong. Well, it's just boring. Well, I understand. We can get backslidden. But when you stay that way, I would hope after a Sunday school lesson like this morning on the golden candlestick, I'd hope somebody could go back to Exodus 25 tomorrow morning for your devotions and you read it for yourself. And Exodus 37 and you read it for yourself. And you look at His branches and His knops and His bowls and His flowers. And you think, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus. Man, this is rich. This is good. Lord, help me to be a light. Help me to be a candlestick in my family, in my neighborhood, in my job. And you take what you've learned and you apply it. It's boring. It's always boring. Something's bad wrong. You mean you never get excited? You only holler at things that are secular? Watch this. But you have not so learned Christ. Put off. Look at verse 24. And that ye... So, put off deceitful lust. And then verse 24 says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you're saved, you can do this. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. If I'm going to be a Christian, I can't be saved and thinking like the world. That means you're going to have to do something about the music. I cannot listen to country music, rock music. I cannot listen to secular. Okay, and you say, well, I listen to the oldies. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Okay. All right. I listen to Jimmy Dean songs, you know, where he sings about the washtub in the 50s. You know, the backside of me was freezing while the front side of me was heating up because he was at the stove. And he's talking. We don't take baths anymore in washtubs. You understand? I listen to garbage, hogwash, pookie, all that other stuff. Okay? You can't listen to secular music and think right. You can't do that. If you're going to think like Christ, you got to think of His Word. You have to read His Word. You have to think about Jesus. John 15, abide or dwell in Him. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 25. I'm almost done. Let me just wrap it up with this verse here tonight. Being a Christian, someone who reminds me of Jesus. Does that mean, look, the more we're around each other, the more flaws we see. There'll be times when we blow it. Our patience with each other. But that shouldn't be our character level. Our character level should be one of striving and trying to be like Jesus. Matthew 25, look at verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Look down at verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. I know this is a prophecy of the gathering of the nations, sheep and goat. This happens at the end of the tribulation. But I like the personal application of this too. I have written in my Bible, since I read it when I got saved, I read that. And the Lord, I think, gave me a truth that does not contradict any part of the rest of the Bible. So you can disagree with me if you want, but I have written in my Bible, if you want to act like Christ, then treat others like you would treat Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these my brothers, talking about Israel and the Jews, you did it to me. And if I'm out to be Christ-like to you, here's the truth, then the best way I can do that is treat you as if you were Jesus. And if I find out you have a need, if you're cold and you need clothing, if Jesus came in the room and he was shivering, how fast could you get him a coat? If Jesus came into the room and he was hungry, he's like, man, I'm starving. How fast could you get him some food? Then when I see that you have a need and you're hungry, or if you're hurting, how fast could I help you? You say, you're the pastor, you're supposed to act that way. I think that verse is to all of us. And if I want to act like Jesus to you, I need to treat you like Jesus and give you the same respect that I would give the Savior if I find out you have a need. And I should do what I can as fast as I can. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You say, do you always do that? When I'm on top, I when I'm in my game, when I'm focused, I can do it. I watch people when they come into church. Everybody isn't smiling. Everybody isn't. There are some. And I always wonder, is their heart breaking? What's so heavy that they can't sing? What's so heavy that they can't get involved? They can't absorb what's happening. They're just enduring it. My heart goes out to them. I can pray for them, right? I can do that. Tonight's message, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Listen closely. Being a Christian is not the same as being saved. To be saved, you have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. To be a Christian, you need to remind someone else of Jesus. You can't call yourself a Christian because no one in the Bible did that. Someone else has to call you a Christian, a reminder of Christ. So tonight, could I ask you this? Who calls you a Christian? Who do you remind of Jesus? That's why I think it's very important. Let me go into the home. I think it's very important for brothers and sisters to treat each other right. You say, well, if brothers and sisters are supposed to fight, I understand they do that for immaturity, but it's not supposed to always stay that way. Do you understand? So the younger they are, the more they're going to fight, and the more mature they are, the more they learn to get along. How come I would stress that? Because you're going to treat your spouse one day just like you treat your siblings. And if you fight all the time, and you never grow out of it, and you never work at treating your brothers and sisters like you're supposed to, you'll treat your spouse that way one day. You say, where'd you learn that? We just bickered all the time at home. Tonight's sermon is being a Christian. Do you remind anyone of Jesus? Because that is the goal.